You are listening to Every Woman on KKFI 90.1 FM. My name is Angela Believes, and I'm going to start this show off with a poem written by me. It is copyrighted, so don't even try it. We have some wonderful guests in the studio today. Sisters in Crime, Chapter 49, and our wonderful, wonderful co-hosts, Marvita, and of course, Fiona, Una, and Anthony are in the studio as well. Let me kick this poem off, because this is how I'm going to start my 2019, moving into the rest of my life. The title is All Love, Baby. After all, there is freedom in the chase. I chase my dreams. I chase my goals. I chase my son into his future. I chase what's right. I chase change. I chase man no more. I chase everything that makes us all. I chase true love in me and you. I chase fear out of me. I chase the beast in me to release. I am committed to chase. Thank you. And with that being said, Marvita, take the mic.
All right. There's our shy Miss. She told me she was shy, folks. I didn't believe it. And here she is to prove it. So, Angela Believe, thank you so much. I chase man no more. I chase true love. I am committed to chase. I heard that. So, I just want to say thank you very much. That was wonderful. Great way to start off the new year, especially on Every Woman, where we're here to talk to every woman and to talk about things that are important to us and things that also let us know what are the different and exciting things that are going on in the Kansas City area with Every Woman. So today I am so happy to welcome our guests. They are Sisters in Crime. Hey, we're getting off with a different kind of start. Sisters in Crime, or SINC, they are an organization that is committed to writer support organization with 50 chapters in the U.S. and Canada. They look inward to discover who they are. They're exploring the difficult mystery of diversity in today's publishing industry. Every industry has its challenges when it comes to women and the things that we have to deal with. And today I am so happy to welcome our guests, Miss Julie Tollefson, Miss Ann Friedman, and Gwen Irvin, who happens to be a volunteer here at KKFI, and that's how I even learned about Sisters in Crime. So thank you, ladies, so much. I heard you guys had a brunch this morning.
Yes, we did.
I hope that went very well. But thank you, and welcome to Every Woman. And I just want to say thank you, Gwen. Can you tell us a little bit about Sisters in Crime and how it all started out?
Sure. Sisters in Crime itself began in 1986 as kind of a reaction, and Sarah Paretsky, who was the founder of this organization, describes it as a late coming to the women's movement, because within the writing industry, women were ignored. Women authors were totally ignored. They were never, at that time, they were not nominated for major awards. They were in many publishing houses. Of all the books they published, only one or two women authors per month were among those books.
Was that like a quota they figured that had to be one woman per month type of situation?
Well, you know how people don't put things in writing so they can't be sued? But it's kind of a, some people consider what I just said a myth, but it's pretty widely known as a reality.
Okay, well, this is something that isn't unusual to women in general, but it is good to hear about the women's mystery writers movement, because that's not something we're so familiar with. But when we look into it, I understand there's a lot of women who are involved in some really well-known mystery writing type of situations, and I'd like to hear a little bit more about it. So, Miss Ann Friedman, how did you get involved with Sisters in Crime?
I had written a historical novel and was writing a second one, and thought that I would just make it a straightforward historical novel, and then my characters ran out of things to do after 100 pages. Uh-huh. So I wanted them, I thought about what would happen next. I said, well, I'll have them solve a crime, only I didn't know anything about how to structure a mystery. And I went to a program by Nancy Picard and Sally Goldenbaum, two writers who are members and some of the founders of the Sisters in Crime group, and learned how the craft of writing mysteries, and in the process discovered a whole bunch of wonderful women and some men who enjoy reading mysteries as well.
That's really great. So you were a history writer, and then you realized if you wanted to make this interesting, you really had to kind of add a little bit of, I guess, mystery to it.
Yes, it was an action for my characters to do, but also I enjoyed reading mysteries. My parents were both great readers of mysteries, and it was wonderful to be in this tradition.
What were some of the mysteries that you were fond of?
I always liked historical ones. I enjoy the work of Judith Rock, who writes about 17th century Paris, her Charles Duluc series. I enjoy Anne Perry, who writes about Victorian England, has a couple of series of those. And I'm still ferreting out new mystery writers to discover.
That's really great. I'm going to have to tell you, I was a fan of Murder, She Wrote. I'm sure like so many people were. Mm-hmm. But and I also had a, I was a fan in high school. I forget, it was like a high school kind of mystery. I'll try to remember the name of it later. But I really enjoyed the intrigue of, okay, they gave us a little situation, and we wanted to figure out who did it before we got to the end of the book. Mm-hmm. And is that the type of thing that drew you to mysteries as well?
Yes, it was partly trying to solve things, which is always leading clues, learning how to think, learning how to analyze. These are all good things that mysteries encourage in us. And also the sense of entering another world, because it's another someone's set of problems and another, sometimes another era.
That's really great. So how long have you been a member of Sisters in Crime?
At least since 2009 or 2010. And simply, I believe since 2010, and have met many people over the years and been introduced to many novels over the years because of my membership.
Well, and how have you enjoyed it? What have you benefited from being a member of Sisters in Crime?
It's a sense of companionship. Always with writing. Writing is such a solitary occupation. It's always nice to meet, to get your head out of your particular piece that you're working on and connect with other people.
And are there titles that you have in particular that you have out right now?
The one book I have out now is called An Artist in Her Own Right. And it's a historical novel. It's not a mystery, but it's set in Paris in the first half of the 19th century.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Miss Anne. I have on the left of me Miss Julie Tollefson, who's also a mystery writer. And what made you decide to join Sisters in Crime? It sounds like a gang. Are you guys gang-like, or are you kind of more
we could be if called upon?
I'm a reformed journalist.
Journalist, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I don't know, 10 years ago or so, I thought I'd give myself a chance at fiction, but I had no idea what I was doing.
Who did you write for previously?
I was a copy editor at the Lawrence Journal World.
Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago, like mm-hmm. years ago. And So I went looking for people who could help me with fiction, and I found Sisters in Crime, and I found the Guppies chapter, which is for newer writers. Guppies stands for Great Unpublished.
Oh, okay.
And they offer a lot of support for brand new fiction writers. I credit them for my very first publication in fiction.
So you're actually a guppy.
I was.
Who became a sister in crime.
I was a... yes.
All right.
So once you're published, you're no longer the great unpublished.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But you can stick around in guppies. They take everybody. Yeah.
Well, they have great critique groups for the guppies.
They do.
You guys have some great names, I do have to say. Sisters in Crime and Guppies.
I wish you'd been there when I told the director of the Metropolitan Crime Commission that I was in a group called Sisters in Crime.
Yeah,
the look on the face.
What is the response that you get from hearing the name of your organization and then understanding the mission of your organization?
Well,
Gwen,
first, I tell them, you know, we don't actually commit crime, and so they back down. But the mission is really good because it's not just authors in Sisters in Crime. It's authors, readers, publishers, agents, booksellers, and librarians. And they... it's supporting women writers, and it's not just women who belong to this organization. We have several men because we offer a lot of great things to our members. There's a monthly Sync Link newsletter that brings you news about the publishing business. There's a quarterly magazine about our own Sisters in Crime. Discounts from members. Institutional presence at these large conventions, and that's where Julie made her discovery of Sisters in Crime in the Border Crimes Unit.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I met Nancy Picard at one, and she invited me to become a Border Crimes member. So,
and I keep hearing the name Nancy Picard.
Oh, well, I should tell you about this. Nancy Picard was the first national president of the entire group, and she's a woman from here in Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
Who has published many mysteries and recently had one of her books made into a movie.
Wow. Well, this is really great. I think we've gotten a great start here with Sisters in Crime. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. We're here on, you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We had a great start with our Angel Believes poem, and we're going to get into it just a little bit more about what Sisters in Crime, or Sync, is about, as well as the Guppies, the unpublished authors of Sisters in Crime, and we're going to find out a lot bit more about them right after the break. So stay tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
In the studio, if you've just now tuned in, we have Sisters in Crime, Chapter 49. We have Anne, Gwen, and Julie here. And in studio, we also have our wonderful producer, Una Nowling, in the building. Marvita is co-hosting this section of the show, and we are talking about mystery women writers. Do either one of you have a favorite mystery women writer?
I love Anne Perry as well. I would have to say Louise Penny, a Canadian writer
who
has a fabulous series set in the Quebecois area of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What's yours, Julie?
Well, I have to say, we keep talking about Nancy Picard, but I really love her books. In the last two books, she set in Kansas at places that are really close to my heart. So
yeah,
she's my go-to.
Yeah, I have to say it's a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Another woman mystery writer that I love is Alana Martin, who writes a series that's set in the near El Paso and the Texas-Mexico border area, and Death of a Saint Maker and others are, for me, some of my favorite works.
So I think we're thinking of women authors as well, but I want to share with you that many of our members, we have 3,600 members worldwide, are men. and because of, I might have reiterated this before, but I wanted to go back and mention something to you. It wasn't just the publishing issue or the award issue. What really fired up Sarah Paretsky, who, by the way, is a well-known author. She wrote the V.I. Warshawski series that was made into a movie with Katherine Turner. She has returned to Kansas City and talked about her current writing. She's a lot of mystery books out there. But she's originally from Lawrence, and that's why the national headquarters are actually located in Lawrence, Kansas, for this organization. What really set her on fire is what she became very aware of that was prevalent in the current male-dominated publishing, is the growing use in 1986, the growing use of graphic sadism against women in mystery writing.
Can you explain what that is, graphic sadism against women?
Well, just horrible rape scenes that were written as if nothing was happening, and the woman had no emotional response, nothing, no follow-up, nothing revealed anything about the victim of the crime. Terrible ways in which women were beaten or hit, or, and it was just increasing. It was like feeding people who wanted to read these. Since I'm trying to remember some of these authors who were what I would call really hardcore.
So it's type of crime porn against women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would call it soft crime porn. Yeah.
Yeah, where women were really objects and not people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is something that is, I guess, easily accepted because women are often, their emotions or their significance is often overlooked, and so writing about them is something that might seem, or writing about even something that has been a crime against them is something that might seem not out of the ordinary and something that everybody can accept.
Well, it's a new day, I'm happy to tell you, because of the actions of Sisters in Crime.
Wow.
That you will not find, you will rarely find this in mystery books written by men.
Okay. Well,
so we're pretty proud of that.
Yeah, that's something great to hear about. Can you tell us a little bit about who are your members in Sisters in Crime? I understand that you seek to represent the representation that's out there, or how are you doing gaining that kind of representation so far?
We actually have members in our group who are in the process of works in progress. They meet in support of one another. In our meetings, we've had different people come on various aspects of and speak on crime or something that would be part of a mystery. For instance, we've had two terrific private investigators from that live in the Kansas City area talk to us about what is it like to be a private investigator in this digital age. It's a very different job. And you would think that they wouldn't have a job anymore, right? Because everything's online? No. There's actually a gentleman in Kansas City who is hired often to go to places in Europe, in Africa, and other, all over the world, to verify what people are telling his employer about their workplace, about their number of employees they have, what they're actually producing. Because we know, everyone knows from the scams, you can make anything up.
Mm-hmm. So you guys, I get the picture then. When you have a meeting, can you kind of give me a description of what maybe a typical and maybe a not-so-typical meeting of Sisters in Crime would be out? Miss Ann, how about you? What kinds of things have you seen as being a member of Sisters in Crime?
Meetings will often start off with people giving news of what they're working on and any publication success that they have had. And it's a great way of it's a great way of encouraging each other and, again, learning what is out there. And as Gwen mentioned, we often have guest speakers. So we've had people from arson squads. We've had policemen. We've had fire marshals, we've had U.S. marshals, we've had other mystery writers who talk about their work or about marketing, all aspects of the publishing field. And there's also always time before and after for socializing and catching up on each other's lives. We've really become a group of friends as well as a group of colleagues.
Being that you all kind of have crime as a as a central theme.
Fictional crime is a central theme.
Oh,
not crimes that we commit.
Oh, okay, excuse me. Fictional crime as a central theme. I'm really interested in your take on things. You're a former journalist.
I am.
So how do you respond to some of the things that are going on, and what's your approach in writing your in writing about crime as a Sisters in Crime member?
Well, the news really provides a great wealth of ideas for writing about crime, and I like in crime fiction the way I can fix things in fiction that you can't fix in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, by the end of the story, generally, the bad guy's going to get what's coming to him. And I think that's one of the great things about crime fiction in general. Mm-hmm. I still have friends in journalism, and their stories they make their way into my writing, fictionalized versions of it.
Mm-hmm. So, Julie, now that you've been an active member of Sisters in Crime, mm-hmm. How have you benefited? And how much have you been able to publish as a writer?
So I've had five or six short stories published. The first one was a direct result of being a member of Sisters in Crime. The Guppy's chapters I mentioned, they sponsor anthologies.
Mm-hmm. And Guppy is once again,
Great Unpublished.
Great Unpublished.
Yeah.
That's a really good encouraging name, I have to say. Great Unpublished. All right.
So they sponsor anthologies. They open it up to members of the Guppy's chapter. You submit your short stories, and then they select 22 or so to put out in an actual publication. And my very first piece of fiction I ever wrote, ever finished, ever submitted anywhere, was selected for the second Guppy's anthology. And so I thought, hey, this fiction thing is a piece of cake.
Not so many things to worry about when you're writing fiction, right?
That's right.
So tell me, though, where do you guys, I think it's great that you have a community and that you get to be published and things like that. Is this something that's just acknowledged in a local scene in Kansas City? How well published are you guys, and how much is your work able to get out to other people across the country?
So since my first publication in Guppy's, I've published several articles or short stories in Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Magazine, which is an international magazine. Mm-hmm. My last story was in the November-December issue, and it was a cover story, which is kind of cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
anybody else have anything published that's nationally recognized?
I do not. I am the reader. But what I want to share with you is we got a bump in recognition of border crimes and Sisters in Crime in particular when Nancy Picard's book, The Scent of Rain and Lightning, was chosen by a screenwriter and eventually turned into a film. It did not get a wide national release, but it was played in many film festivals, including the Lawrence Film Festival, the Kansas City Film Festival. I've forgotten the exact name of the Lawrence.
The Free State Festival.
Yeah, the Free State Festival.
Mm-hmm.
But it is available on some online sources, and I believe that you can actually buy a copy of it in at least Walmart or something.
Maybe,
sure.
Yeah.
But through that release of that, people became very interested in her books, and they, you know, she has two or three really great series out there before she ever wrote these Kansas books that are masterpieces.
Right.
So would you recommend other women or men who are interested in writing in the crime genre to join Sisters in Crime then?
I would, because we have a wonderful network of information by world and international famous writers that is available to people online through Sisters in Crime. They can attend BoucherCon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I read about BoucherCon. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the Comic-Con of the crime industry.
Right.
How did BoucherCon come about?
Do you know the story on that?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll tell you what I know about it. I don't have it in front of me. There was a gentleman whose last name was actually Voucher, mm-hmm. and he was a New York bookseller, agent, et cetera, publisher, all of it. And he was a big promoter of the mystery writers. And they named it in his honor. They put together this convention where all the mystery writers came together. And they give awards in different categories. There's also the Mystery Writers of America.
Quite a few organizations for mystery writers. Thriller Writers is another one. Private Eye Writers.
Many conferences now. Mm-hmm. And we meaning SYNC. SYNC has a presence at many of these conferences. So as a member, if I went to this conference and I was interested, I could attend workshops and special things that were part of the SYNC membership. That's really good.
And I think the thing that even with these organizations being available to you, what you guys were finding was that women's books weren't being reviewed at a percentage equal to their participation in the field.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Is that changing?
We're making it change, I like to think. And, you know, one of the things that SYNC is really focusing on, I think Julie mentioned this earlier, is that they're wanting to ensure that there's diversity in authorship among our membership and that those people are getting their books published, African American, Asian, Latino, Latina, LGBTQ community, all of it.
Now that I'm glad that you mentioned the representation. I'm seeing here as part of the website of Sisters in Crime that mm-hmm. when you look at you guys are at least tracking representations, which is notable. When you look at your representation amongst white women, African American, American Indian, Asian or Pacific Islander, Hispanic, Latino, and women with disabilities, as well as LGBT, you listed on your website as to what your representation is at this mm-hmm. point. Like, for example, white women is 93%, and as far as U.S. population, that's 62%. So you are well representing white women in SYNC. And then when you go to African-American women, something that's kind of a nice surprise, African-American women in U.S. population is 13%, and you guys are representing them as 3% of your membership. But mm-hmm. not only that, I noticed that you also are recognizing them and helping to encourage African-American writers in your organization.
That's true, and there's a new publishing company called Bryce Books, mm-hmm. and it's a Kansas City man named Joel Goldman, mm-hmm. and his partner, whose name escapes me at this moment, Joel will kill me later. Bryce Books was created to bring back books that have been published by women in the past that maybe they wrote one or two books and they didn't seem to sell like the New York Times list or anything, and so they were not given the opportunity to move on, or their books were not pushed out or really publicized. So Bryce Book is saying, hey, do you have the rights to your book? And they say yes, and then Bryce brings it back out. It's like something that hasn't been published. Many of these people have been African American writers.
Okay.
And in particular
mm-hmm.
women. Mm-hmm.
And I would note, too, that the national organization has started some grant programs to foster more diversity. There's a scholarship for women of color, I believe, women writers of color. And So we recognize at the national level that we don't represent the population the way the population is, but we're working at improving that diversity.
And I would have to say that you probably can represent more African-American women, but when you do look at the other categories, like American Indians, it's 2%. As far as the U.S. population is 2%, and you represent with 2% in your membership. As far as Asian and Pacific Islanders, it's 5%, and you're at 2% mm-hmm. representation. Latinos, you are a little low. As with the African American U.S. population is 17%, and you guys are 1% representation. And those, however, with disabilities, which is, I don't know if you're able to speak about that, there's 19% representation of writers with disabilities, and you guys have 12% writers with disabilities as your members. How is that something, is that something that you guys realize was happening? Is there something you can talk about to say why?
I'm not laughing. I'm just saying, no, this is like the lucky charm in your life that that number is so high, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You become disabled, you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Words would become your friend.
Okay.
What you could create with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
All right. And then on the other hand, LGBT representation in the U.S. population, you're just under 4% at 3.8%. But here at SYNC, you represent with 6% of your authors or members being in the LGBT community. So at least showing the numbers and looking, seems as though you're doing things to help and increase the numbers where they're not representing as far as U.S. population is concerned.
Can I mention Frankie's list on the SYNC website?
Mm-hmm.
It's a list by category of authors who fall into those underrepresented populations, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the efforts of the national organization to improve diversity in the publishing, mystery genre publishing.
To push those houses, small and large,
okay,
to look at these authors' work.
And readers, so
and
to
readers.
Recognize that the books are out there, they may not even know they exist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's something that's to be commended, because you have to be deliberate about changing the environment as far as diversity and inclusion is concerned. You can't just expect for it to happen, but you have to be deliberate about making it happen. And that's something that we like to recognize in every woman. Another thing that you all are doing right now, you're celebrating 30 years of Sisters in Crime. What does that mean to you, and what do you see as far as the future for Sisters in Crime? Is that something that you expect to continue into the future?
I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ms. Ann, what do you mean? Why would you say yes?
I think it's all part of the growing awareness that began with the women's movement and continues to this day. And it certainly, as we all contribute to the crime writing and to the mystery writing and mystery reading field, I think it simply generates more. I'm not being very literate about this.
Well, no, you're fine. And as far as a journalist's point of view, what do you think is going to be the future for Sisters in Crime, Ms. Julie?
I think we're going to continue to grow and diversify. And I, even though we've made some strides in the reviews, or the more reviews of women writers than there were in the past, I think there's still quite a ways to go in a lot of areas.
Do you find yourselves breaking more into, I mean, with so many different changes, I'm sorry, but with so many different changes as far as self-publishing and then the traditional publishing houses, are you finding that you're able to keep up with the trends of publishing?
No, that's one of the things that Sisters does. The newsletters and the emails that they send out every month, I think Sync Leaks is every month, that really does help you keep up with what's happening in publishing.
Mm-hmm. And is that traditional and non-traditional?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we've had those, we've had programs about those non-traditional ways of being published, self-publishing, mm-hmm. e-publishing, getting published by the smaller houses, putting your books online, all mm-hmm. sorts of ways. We've had our own authors come and talk to us about how they are getting their books published.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have our own author of sorts, Miss Angela Believe, in the studio. What would we, how can we advise her as to self-publishing is concerned? What would be some steps she might take? She has poetry, at least. I don't know what else she might have. But she has poetry, and I know that's one way to get started. What would be the types of steps she might want to follow to get her works published? She told everybody, don't you try to take my stuff. At the beginning of
good girl.
At the beginning of the hour. And just the fact that she spoke it on the radio, there is that copyright kind of situation that happens just because it is published. But is there anything more she can do to help herself maintain the integrity of her work?
Well, I'm going to advise you to go right to at least two of our members, Juliet Kincaid.
Right.
Extremely.
She's writing this down.
That's good. Help me out. Wasn't Joyce Brown self-published?
Oh, Joyce. At one, yes,
Joyce so. Brown.
Joyce Brown. Who else? Who else have we got? Dead silence on the radio.
Sorry.
But Juliet is an excellent source, and I'll get some contact information to you. By the way, speaking of contacting us, we have a website.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sync Border Crimes.
And Sync Border Crimes is the regional representation of Sync?
Right. Okay. And the national would be sistersincrime.org.
Oh, okay. So Sync Border Crimes, I kind of skipped over the border crimes part. But what is that referring to, Sync Border Crimes?
Well, Sarah Paresky, who began the national organization, had written I don't think it's a mystery. I think it's a nonfiction book that she wrote about the border wars of Kansas and Missouri.
Okay.
So we took that border from her and added crimes.
All right.
But, you know, something I should mention.
Borders are very important.
And, you know, something I should mention to you is not everything in a mystery is actually a violent murder.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some mystery books are what are called cozies, and they have mysteries that don't have an actual crime, but they have some unfortunate effect on someone.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out, people. What am I thinking of? Oh, like, someone is missing a priceless family heirloom. Some paintings are missing from a house. You can have a great mystery story out of those situations.
Yeah, it could involve a sense of intrigue with the local citizens and small town situations, I could see.
Right. And we have some wonderful mysteries that have been translated into English, or England, whatever, that are in other countries, and they reveal to you the culture, the language. Mm-hmm. If there happens to be a police officer, you see how, for instance, there are a great series out there, don't ask me an author name right now, that is set in South Africa, and it's South Africa now. It's the life of a police officer now.
Okay.
So it's very, you know that person who's writing it, who is from South Africa, is really portraying things the way they are.
And that's how well represented you are. You all are in South Africa as well.
I don't know specifically that we have a chapter there, but I know that there are people who write about South Africa, who write about Africa, who are members of Sisters in Crime.
There's a pretty active group in Australia, I know.
Okay. So. Do you guys have like a yearly convention with the Boucheron?
Sisters in Crime National meets
BoucherCon.
Yeah, in connection with either BoucherCon or Malice Domestic, another big conference, and it happens in the spring, I believe.
Can you name the awards that Nancy... I'm so proud of Nancy Picard, I have to put this out there. Nancy Picard is one of the few mystery writers who's won the Big Five Awards.
Oh, okay.
The Edgar.
Agatha.
The Agatha Christie. At BoucherCon, what do you get? It's something else. Well, we're back.
We'll look into those. But she's a Kansas City area native, and she has a
T-shirt.
Yeah, and she has been She has been able to be awarded, which was something that you guys were fighting for anyway.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about your shirt?
Oh, sure. We actually were awarded a grant through Sisters in Crime for our chapter. It was a speaker's grant, and we were able to select an author to come and do a full-day workshop with us. And we were so lucky to get this author, Reese Bowen, who has several series. My favorite is her series called Her Royal Spinous, which is a minor member of the royal family living in the 1920s in England. And what that really means for a woman who wants to be independent and, by the way, a private investigator. But she came and spoke to us and talked to our writers about her process, mm-hmm. about how she was published, her style of making and deciding on what is going to be in her book, her research. We were very lucky. She came to us after she had done a 2 weeks?
Something like that.
2 weeks in Tuscany, where people paid thousands of dollars to come to this workshop. And when she knew she was coming to us, she actually asked, "Do you mind if I use some of the material from Italy?" And we were like, "Are you kidding?" We were like, "Why, no, we don't mind that at all." And it was fabulous. She spoke to us in the morning, and we had a delightful time because so many of her books are all... She also has another series about an Anglican priest in Wales, and so it was also British and everything. We had high tea for lunch. A British tea for lunch, and then in the afternoon she spoke again. And Julie, you were on a panel, right?
I won an award for a short piece of writing that I submitted in connection with that. Yeah.
Well, these are not in. I mean, these are very significant types of support systems that are available through Sisters in Crime. I just wanted to go back and mention the awards that Nancy Picard has won. The McCavity Award. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the McCavity Award?
No. who knows what? Right off the top of my head, it's empty. I have a lot of words in my mouth. I have no information on the
Well, Agatha. I just wanted to make sure we mentioned the awards, the Agatha Christie Award, the Anthony Award, and the Seamus Awards are the awards that she has won.
Yes.
McCavity was a cat.
Mystery cat
in T.S. Eliot's Book of Cats.
Okay. Yes.
And
he's called the Hidden Paw.
And that's Fiona.
McCavity the mystery cat, and whenever you go to look for him, McCavity's not there.
Oh!
But these were significant writers' organizations that had been always men in the past.
Oh, I see.
That was the other issue. Women were not being even nominated. When they had phenomenal successes, they were not even being nominated. And one of the things that Sisters in Crime did that was very, very smart at the beginning is they lobbied Mary Higgins Clark to join them. And when she did that, it suddenly clicked with many men and many publishing houses that this Sisters in Crime thing was legit.
Mm-hmm. And Mary Higgins Clark, she is famous for what types of writing?
Really scary
suspense
mm-hmm. stories. There, mm-hmm. if you went back and just checked YouTube or typed in Mary Higgins Clark, thank you, You would find many TV movies made about her writing. You could go to the library and find 30 books right now.
Okay. I know one thing, just in we're kind of wrapping up things, but I know one thing that you guys are associated with, or some of the movies that are associated with authors and women's in crime. You guys were associated with vampire series of movies.
Oh, yes, Charlene Harris. Mm-hmm. She wrote True Blood.
True Blood.
And she is a longtime member of Sisters in Crime.
Right, and coming out of Tunica, Mississippi. Actually, Tunica is where one of my roommates was when I was in college. So I can relate.
Did that make you afraid?
Can get the scary stories, but just realizing that Sisters in Crime is not only an organization that is very supportive of women, but significant in its contribution to the mystery literature genre. And I think that's something that you guys, you know, are able to claim as your own.
Dana Cameron is a woman who writes mysteries that are archaeological mysteries, mm-hmm. because she is an archaeologist and she also writes mystery books. Her books in the past year were made into Hallmark movies.
Oh, okay. Well, Hallmark is nice tearjerker to pay attention to.
Well, these are not tearjerkers. Oh, okay. These are her true mm-hmm. mysteries. They're all wonderful.
Right. Oh, it's great. Yeah. Well, for people like our production engineer, who writes poetry, and I'm sure she has some other creative things coming out of her, even though she says she's shy. But, you know, I think that's just a cover, you know, so that she can kind of wham you when she does her thing, because I was a little I had to sit back when she started reading her poetry. But, you know, I think that's not untypical for women. We kind of play ourselves down, and then when we get our Sasha Fierce on in front of the mic, we kind of forget about who we were, and we just channel who we are as far as the things that we believe in, the things that we are creative about, and the things that we want to get out there so that others can see just who we are and the types of things that we're interested in. And that's one thing I have to say I appreciate about this organization, Sisters in Crime. You all have come together and you've supported each other. You got your guppies, you got your Sisters in Crime, you got your well-known authors and authoresses mm-hmm. who have contributed not only to just the mystery genre, but to what's happening in contemporary entertainment in America. So it must be something you must be feeling very proud about.
Yes, we are.
Well, and, you know, one of our members just blows me away. Julie remarked on this earlier. She's out writing. She wrote 1,000 words one day on a book that was recently published on her phone. Okay, I'm a generation where writing 1,000 words on my little phone does not. Mm-hmm. But that kind of creativity,
how could she even move her thumbs after doing that?
I know.
She's very young.
Right.
She's on the room. Yeah.
Not only was she writing on her phone, but she was writing on her phone while she was on her treadmill in the morning.
Okay, of course.
She gets up at 4 in the morning, runs 5 miles, and then comes home and writes on her phone. And sometimes if she can't go out and run because of the weather, then she'll run on her treadmill all the while typing on her phone.
And I'm just going to plug...
You got to be young.
Yeah. I'm just going to plug her book. It's called Sea Witch. It's written for young adults. That's the other thing we should say is...
Right.
We have a lot of different age mystery writers, right. Different age books. And it's called Sea Witch by Sarah Henning. And it is a suspense...
And she's from this area.
Yes.
She's
from Lawrence.
Lawrence writer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. Mm-hmm.
You said it's called Sea Witch, and what is it about?
It is a fantasy that is young adult, but it is actually a suspenseful mm-hmm. mystery.
The origin story for the Sea Witch of Hans Christian Andersen. So.
And I understand that she's actually on tour, which is something that's quite unusual for authors these days, to be given a tour by a publishing company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. that's one of the things that we really work with our folks, and we've had people speak on these issues at our meetings, the self-promotion.
Okay, and that self-promotion, is that, how is it different from maybe 10 years ago?
I think that authors these days are more and more required to do their own self-promotion. They arrange their own appearances, and they often pay for it out of their own pocket and hope that it sticks.
So the days of book advances are pretty much gone?
Not entirely, and that's why Sisters in Crime is really, the newsletter is very useful, because those advances and the deal that people make for either a single book or a series book are important for folks to know that that's still there.
Mm-hmm. And that's really more so for the books and not so much for short stories. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I want to say is that we recently had an author, Julie
Mulhern,
who really talked to us about Facebook, Instagram, emailing your readers, what else was she, tweeting, and some other major promotional things.
So you guys are just trying to take advantage of the marketing trends that are going on right now, and yes, then help yourselves and continue in doing the great work that you guys seem to be doing, you ladies seem to be doing. One thing I want to do before we head out, because we're getting down to the end of the wire with our Every Woman show, can you give us once again your contact information for the Sisters in Crime website and for the local chapter as well?
Border Crimes, Sync.
Sync Border Crimes.
Oh, I just switched it. Okay. Sync Border Crimes.
Right. And the national organization is sistersincrime.org. The local Border Crimes, we're also on Facebook, and that's probably the best way to find us.
Yes. Type in Border Crimes in the search, and it will pull us up on Facebook. We invite you to contact us and give us your email address. We will let you know about our upcoming meetings. Mm-hmm. And what we should say is the National has dues. We encourage everyone to join the National, but you may attend our meetings without paying any dues.
That's right.
Well, I just want to say to you ladies, thank you so much for joining us today on Every Woman to tell us a lot more about Sisters in Crime, an organization I had not heard about, but I'm so glad that I was, you know, actually I heard about Sisters in Crime because Gwen is a volunteer with KKFI on the Cowtown Conversation Show, which I've been doing on Thursdays, and we've been doing a month on safety. And just want to mention, as a part of that month on safety, tonight there's a free night of fun with Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. It's a movie night. 7 p.m. South Patrol Division Gym, 9701 Marion Park Drive. You get a free movie, free popcorn, free hot dogs, bring your lawn chairs and blankets. And that's for the police station, no alcohol. They wanted to thank their sponsors, Councilman Scott Taylor and Kevin McManus, Councilman Lee Barnes Jr., and Councilwoman Alyssa Kennedy of the 5th District. So as part of why we're hearing about Sisters in Crime, we've been doing a safety month on crime. Just want to encourage you to go out, check out sistersincrime.org, as well as
Sync Border Crimes.
Sync Border Crime. And for you aspiring writers, poets, people who just want to maybe write a short story or two, if you want somebody who has a like interest, this is a great organization to connect with. Thank you once again, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank
this is Marvita
so
Oliver and the great production crew. Too many people I can name right now. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.